Blog Talk Radio.
Early version, Happy Valentine's. We had to kind of switch things around. This is the Moving the Chains podcast, hosted by yours truly, Mark Mancini, with the Roosters up in Los Angeles. My sidekick, the straw that stirs a drink, probably with a Denver omelet, cottage cheese, and looking good as always, Daniela Orsino, out there in Charlotte, North Carolina. 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, we realize 30 minutes goes by quick. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So without further ado, let me lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic. Danielle, happy Valentine's. I know we're back to regular schedule next week. Hope you're having a great one. How can people get a hold of you? And boy, there's a lot to talk about on the recap of the Super Bowl.
Oh, happy Valentine's Day, Mark, and happy Valentine's Day to everybody out there. Thank you for getting up so early with us. Everybody can get a hold of me on Instagram at Bertha the Fae. Let's jump into a few things because there is a lot to talk about, but there is one detail that came out last week that seemed to go under the radar with the press, and I'd like to bring it to our listeners' attention right now. Came out last Wednesday that Goodell has given permission that NFL owners can now own up to 5% of sports booking companies. So I'd like everybody to take a second and think that in, being that we just had the Super Bowl. So think about this. You can now own, if you are an owner, 5%. So to put this in perspective, DraftKings currently has a value of $19.95 billion. 5% would be worth $997.5 million. So that's interesting. As of 2018, Patriots owner and the Cowboys owner, Robert Kraft and Jerry Jones, own a small piece, less than 5% of DraftKings. But they were also the ones who put the seed money into it. So, you know, think about that for a second. The way this is working is there's no restriction on owning equity interest in casinos that have no sports betting. An owner would be able to hold up to 5% in entities that generate revenue for sports betting operations, provided the individual has no involvement in management of the company, such as an officer, a director, in a management role. Now, just once again, putting this in perspective, no role in management. We both know Jerry Jones has his hands in everything. So how he's able to do this, I don't know. But here's the other problem. The NFL will not release which owners have equity stakes. They're not doing this. So the lack of transparency is jarring considering all of this, and now considering that I think 20 stadiums will now have a sports betting site within them. So we just had the Super Bowl. Think about it like this. You now don't know which owners have a piece of this. You can now bet on anything. Who's going to score first? How many penalties this guy will get? How many sacks? You can score on anything. You know, you can bet on anything. And now the owners have a stake in this. If you think this isn't muddying the waters and a strict conflict of interest, we all need to wake up, because the game is going to get dicey. And the way I can equate this for anybody is that think of it like this. Goodell is staying in office because this is almost like bribing. This is putting money directly into the pockets of the people that keep him in office. This is literally just like, here, guys, keep me in. Because anybody else would say, you can't do this. This is like a quid pro quo. You can't.
Right.
Like I said, it's just a conflict of interest. So I don't know how they're getting away with it, but it's also opening up so much to changing this game and people taking bribes and things like that. It's just not good. I think it also lends credence to why the refs should be put on full time and be getting a decent salary. I also don't think the refs should be announced till the day of the game to avoid, you know, hey, I need this kind of to happen today, that kind of thing. But, yeah, that came out Wednesday. So I don't know about you, but that kind of makes me look side-eyed at everybody.
Yeah, side-eyed is the right word to describe this thing. And I've never liked Goodell. I think he's always been on the take. He should have probably been out when that whole, you know, women's thing with the Ray Rice. I thought that was the beginning of the end of him. I don't know how he escaped the rush on that, but it's kind of like some of these council people that say things and, you know, they get their hand caught in the cookie jar and they escape the pass rush and they still have a job. I don't know how. The only thing I can figure with Roger Goodell, Danielle, is he's making money for the owners. The owners aren't going to get rid of him. That's it.
Well,
bottom
this
line.
Is exactly it. This is what you're saying. He is now allowing them to make a lot of money, and this is why they're going to keep him in. Because another guy can come in and go, no, this is done. We're not doing this anymore. Because somebody else with a brain would say, whoa, this is sketchy. This no bueno. Like, no, we're not doing this. And then they're taking the money out. So this is how he's staying in, with deals like this. This is exactly what he's doing. The reason I'm bringing it up, and people can say, oh, we don't want to hear about this, whatever. This is what's happening to our game, and this is what's happening to the players. Because remember, he sent out that big memo last week about ethics and gambling. You can't even walk into a gamble. You know, it was the whole thing. This is one of those, you know, don't do as I say kind of, you know, do as I say, not as I do kind of thing. And I think it's just sending a mixed message in general. And then you're forcing players to then do these commercials. I don't feel a broadcaster, like, I don't think Rob, that's great, Rob, you want to do the fan kick, the dual, you know, fan kick of destiny, whatever the heck it was called. I'm sorry, you haven't been out of the league long enough. You still are talking to all the players. I don't think these guys should be doing segments sponsored by DraftKings, FanDuel, and giving their picks, because you have inside information. So I just, like I said, I think it's muddied waters. Then you're making, the NFL is making these guys do the commercials. You know, I get that, you know, Kurt Warner thinks he's different and he's like, you know, don't gamble, only gamble what you can afford. And he thinks somehow with his religion, like, that's not pushing gambling. Sorry, dude, you're still pushing gambling. Every segment on the NFL on Game Day Sunday is sponsored by DraftKings.
Gambling. Yeah.
They're
no,
in your
no
pocket.
Doubt about that.
It doesn't matter. You're still muddying these waters. And then you're telling these players, don't do anything. But once again, I'm going to find the crap out of you when your socks and your pants don't meet. I'm going to find you for flashing the peace sign. And I don't have to be transparent. And by the way, I'm not going to, you can appeal it, but I'm going to make the process really difficult for you. These are the things that as viewers, as fans, as we're watching it, that it's like, if we don't speak about it, it's just like we're kind of being complacent, which is why the NFL Network's not going to talk about it. Unfortunately, ESPN is eventually going to be swallowed. They're not going to talk about it. It's the little fish that have to make some noise. So even though we're celebrating the Super Bowl and, yeah, we're going to get into it, these stories can't go, you know, just shoved under the rug and pretended like they didn't happen.
No doubt about it. And I totally agree with you. But Goodell talks on both sides of his mouth. He always has, and he needs to go. I mean, that's the thing. The problem here is, you know, when you look at the NFL today, you know, these I'm sitting here hearing people talk. I'm hearing these reporters, and, you know, I couldn't help but think to myself, these people must be tripping over their shoelaces and their high heels or whatever, because – you know, to sit here and tell me Kelsey's this great and Mahomes is this great and best ever and the Chiefs are the best ever team. Let's reel back the clock here and look at, the you know, all the changes in the NFL where you can't touch quarterbacks. Mahomes is a good quarterback. He's no Bradshaw in my book. He's no Brady. He's no Montana. And to push the envelope on this, you're trying to sell something that, you know, when you start to compare eras here, it's a nice story, but there's no competition in the NFL until there was this year where the Chiefs had to, you know, get a go through a gauntlet, if you want to say it. Okay, you had to go to Buffalo. You had to go to Baltimore. Then you played the 49ers. But, I mean, the last few years you've dodged bullets with the Bengals, the Bills. I mean, let's face it. And I just think the NFL's in bed with this team because they want to push this team. It's, you know, it's kind of like basketball in some ways, Danielle. The Lakers and Celtics, they're all the time. you know, you market a couple teams, you push them to the forefront because everybody wants to see it. It's a moneymaker. Well, that's what it is with the Kansas City Chiefs now. Taylor Swift bringing in the Swifties, and it's a moneymaker, so let's get the Chiefs. Did you really actually think, and I thought to myself, are they going to let the Chiefs lose this game? Are they going to have the 49ers as a champ? It was a storybook ending. It was a fairy tale. I mean, because with the whole Swift movement, how can you have this team lose? I mean, that's just my thought. I'm going to lay it like it is.
I thought, I mean, look, it was a 22-25 game. Like, it was, to me, it was a very boring Super Bowl until the fourth quarter. That's when it kind
right.
of woke up to me. I was bored for a while. I was watching it like, okay. I thought the 49ers defense came on strong. It was probably some of the best that they've looked when it came to the pass rush in the front four. They were strong. I mean, Mahomes looked like he was running for his life. But I will take it back to this. When Mahomes first faced the 49ers in that Super Bowl that he won when it was Garoppolo, I remember the 49ers were favored. And I had picked them, and I was at a party, and I was watching it. And I changed my mind because right before the game started, they showed a close-up of Mahomes sitting alone on the bench. He had his earbuds in, and he just looked. There was just a look to him where if you're an athlete, you know when you see a competitor, you're like, crap. You know, they just – and he had this look like, I'm not leaving this place without a ring. And I remember turning to my friends going, I changed my mind. The Chiefs have this. And they were like, are you crazy? I said, look at that man. He is not leaving there without a ring. And they went on to win it to where this
right.
game, when they showed Mahomes on the sideline in the beginning, he looked way too lackadaisical. He looked like, I've been here so much. It was almost too relaxed. I expected him to be relaxed, but the fight wasn't there. And Purdy looked scared, but, you know, it was just something was missing. And for the first half, he was running for his life. Mahomes did not
right.
get going until the second half. He took it for granted being there. And at that point, I'm like, you know what? You deserve to lose because you look like, I've been here so many times. It's just, it's a given I'm going to win. Like, he almost wanted to smack him. He was, you know, the homecoming cheerleader. Like, he was the head cheerleader. And of course, he was going to win homecoming queen. That's how he was coming
right.
across. It was a little entitled. And then he woke up. But the defense for the 49ers came in hot. And they put him on his heels. And he looked like he was like, oh, this is a game. Crap, I gotta play. Okay, yeah, let me get in on this. And that's where it was, you know, it was something to be said. But San Francisco had a problem with the third down conversions, you know. But other than that, I mean, penalties were equal on both sides, 6-6. You know, it wasn't until, like I said, that second half that KC started waking up and realizing we actually have to fight through this.
Yeah.
And things started happening.
Exactly. Dalen from Chelmsford chiming in. He says, I'm up early with you guys driving. Love your show. Keep up the great work. I want to talk about the Chicago Bears and asking for a haul for Justin Fields. I don't think Caleb Williams is going there. He could be going to your team, Mancini. And what is the story of the Panthers, Danielle? Well, Danielle, thanks for tuning in this early. I know it's a, you know, battle of Nor'easter back there and everything, so stay safe. I've heard some reports of that, and Danielle, maybe you can elaborate on it. The Bears are asking for a hell of a haul for that number one pick. And here's the question. If Caleb Williams doesn't want to go there because he's the best quarterback of this draft, then you could have a situation where it could be an Eli Manning, a John Elway, where, you know, you're screwed. So why pick him? Go for the next best quarterback. And or trade the number one and see what you can get for it. But, you know, the Bears, to me, did this with San Francisco. They've
mm-hmm.
they've kind of, you know, pulled the school trigger with that one. And now they're sitting here, you know, getting Carolinas. I think Caleb Williams is going to Washington. I really do with the second pick. I think it's not so much them picking him. It's he doesn't want to go to Chicago, and he wants to go to his hometown. I don't know what your thoughts are on this with Dalen's comments, but he brings up an interesting one.
Yeah, there's been talk that he'll go because of because of Cliff Kingsbury, you know, he'll go, they know each other, that he'll go to the Commanders. There's been that. He's made comments in the past that, you know, Chicago's where quarterbacks' careers go to die. Not really all that long. I've said this before. I don't think the Bears should get another first pick because they just messed this up. I think Justin Fields, I'll be honest, I saw progression. I think he should get another shot. I really do with the Bears. He, besides DJ Moore, what weapons did you put around him? You got Montez Sweat for defense. I get it. They were just starting to build, but I think Justin Field has not gotten a fair shake. I don't know what they're going to do. I think they're asking for a lot for him. But if you're asking for a lot, then you see the potential as well. So why not keep him and develop him properly and then make a decision? But what I have heard is no one is excited about the next class of QBs. So that is also what's on people's minds right now. There's been talk. It's not like the next class is there's a standout. It's not like this class. There's nobody that's really making anybody go, okay, I can wait for this. I can do this. So I think there's a little bit of shuffling because I've even heard the Giants, Eli Manning just worked out with Drake Mayer. I've heard that even the Giants are now considering moving up to possibly get somebody because, you know, they're kind of like, look, if this Daniel Jones thing doesn't work out, we can't wait to the next draft. There's nobody there, and they've scouted that really looks good. So there's a lot going on there. I think Caleb could probably wind up going to the Commanders because, like you said, then we've got an Eli Manning, Phillip Rivers situation, and you don't want that. It's just it's messy for everybody. I don't know. I think the Bears should really stick with Fields, figure it out, and put some more weapons around him. You know, if you wanted to, draft a wide receiver. Move down, you know, trade down, get a wide receiver, and, you know, look at LSU, look at Malik, somebody like that, and then come in. I mean, Marvin Jones Harrison, somebody, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr., you know, something like that, grab. And work that way and give him somebody. And then if it doesn't work out, okay, now you got to make a move.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. But it's going to be interesting when this draft comes down, what's going to happen. What's going on with the Panthers? I know Dalen brought that one up.
It isn't going along. It's the same thing. I mean, they're trying to figure it out. I know CJ Stroud has come out, you know, kind of defend the other quarterbacks and just, hey, you know, it's like, he's kind of like, don't look at me. Don't compare anybody to me. Oh my God. You know, and that's great. They've made some changes, but here's the thing with the Panthers. You got rid of everybody. You cleaned everybody out to get your quarterback. Great. But you didn't give him anything. The O-line, you fixed some holes, but you didn't give him a strong O-line. So that's an issue, and he's a rookie quarterback. So what do you think is going to happen? You know, like you need to give him a running back so he has some time. You didn't do any of that. You got Tepes, it's something that Carroll said. You have people who never played football, who are non-football people making football decisions. That's what's going on here. He's trying to run this team, and he's not letting the people who know football run the team. He's got his hands in everything. He's a micromanager. I think any coach who comes through here, you got a problem. Until he steps off the gas and steps back, Tepes is always going to wind up screwing this franchise. That's honestly what I believe, and that's the talk down here. They're trying to paint a smile on their face. I don't know how it's going to go.
Well, and I think, the problem here is Chip Kelly left UCLA as a head coach to be an offensive coordinator with Ohio State, more money probably, but less of a headache. I think what you're having here is these NFL teams are hiring offensive and defensive coordinators. They think that's why the team was successful, wherever they're getting these guys from. And to me, you know, when you look, I'll give you a case in point. Spagnuolo wasn't a head coach, but he's a hell of a defensive coordinator. So, I mean, you got to find their strength. You got to find their weakness. Some guys aren't cut out to be,
you know. He was
the
head coach for the Rams. He didn't do well.
Right, and he was a joke.
I think he only made it one, maybe two seasons.
Right, and he was a joke.
He left the Giants for the head coaching
right.
job, and it
right.
didn't go well.
So we're not, you know, it's kind of like, you know, successful coaches in college, and then they come to the pros, and mm-hmm. they can't make the transition, and you wonder why. Case in point, Jerry Tarkanian, Rick Pitino.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these guys,
right.
you know, they're just suited for the college game. Same thing with head coaches.
Right. Yeah.
The head scratcher is still in New England, why they didn't get Vrabel there, who was a player there.
They
could have fit
out.
Right in with the system there in New England. You know, I don't understand what they're thinking. I mean, I know you got to hire minorities. I understand all that. But let's hire guys that have been in the city that have had a little bit of more experience. You know, you don't hire somebody that, you know, fell off the, you know, the rookie bus that just started, you know, putting needles in people's arms. Say, okay, let's just make him a doctor here at Cedars-Sinai. You got to pay your dues. And I think by giving some of these guys chances, it's a joke.
I can't figure out the Vrabel thing. The rumor was that he is a very intimidating and imposing figure. He's a big, big guy. He's, you know,
right.
a football player. Of course he is. And that can be very intimidating to management and intimidating to other players. I think that's a cop-out. And it could be that we said this a couple weeks ago, that Vrabel and Belichick could be sitting out this season because they know next season also coming up, there will be bigger franchises that need coaches. There's a lot of coaches going in this season who are on the hot seat and know it.
Right.
The Steelers are one of them. The Cowboys are one of them. The Giants are one. There's some big franchises that are like, look, these coaches know if you don't go in and do something, you out. It's just it. And these coaches, you know, like Belichick, like Vrabel, could really have their pick of whatever the situation they want to walk into next season. So it also could be that he could have interviewed and just been like, this really,
right.
this just isn't my thing so much as we're looking at it as why didn't he do it? Maybe he was just like, you know what? I'm good. I want to wait it out and see. Maybe I just want to take a season off. So there could be some different sides to that. I don't know.
Well, the other thing is I don't understand why Belichick only got mm-hmm. one look at, and it was the Falcons. So that's an interesting scenario, too. How come there wasn't more teams that came looking for him, unless he's waiting for something big, too? The biggest one that went out there was Harbaugh to the Chargers. I think he'll turn those guys around. Defensive-minded,
yes.
run the ball down your throat, smash mouth. I look for big things out of the Chargers. Let me get this other one, and this is Daniel coming out of, God, I can't even pronounce it, Perimeter? He basically says Andy Reid is a great coach, probably one of the all-time greats up there with Belichick. Well, Daniel, I don't know about that. He's a good coach. He couldn't win in Philadelphia. I think he's like a Phil Jackson, comes in. You know, the wagon's, you know, three quarters full, and, you know, he comes in and does his job. You can win a lot when you have Mahomes there, so I guess that would be the beneficial there. As far as the whole Kelsey thing, and we talked about that earlier, the pre-Chad and everything, this guy to me is just, he's reading his headlines. You know, sometimes you can hit the lottery, and all of a sudden your personality changes and everything. People go, well, wait a minute, what happened to that guy? Money changes people. I think fame has changed mm-hmm. Travis Kelsey. To me, the guy is a complete moron, and along with his brother there, too. And, boy, am I so glad they're from Cleveland and not Pittsburgh.
I'll be honest. I don't like the way he spoke to Andy Reid. I didn't like that being caught on tape. I know Tom Brady has come out, and we all know Brady could get heated. And this is also coming from somebody who would, like, look at Eli and be like, could you get a little emotional, please?
Yeah.
You know, but as an athlete, I'll be honest, I have had arguments with my guy, with my instructor, and that's, you know, in the martial art community, that's like a big no-no. We have had knockdown, drag out fights over stuff that has gone on, whether, you know, whatever it is. But I have never physically gone after the man. I have never hip-checked him. I have never gotten in his face and spit at him. I have had arguments from a very safe distance because I was scared of him, but I have stood up to him. I would never do what he did. Now, it's the Super Bowl, but I've had arguments. I'm trying to equate it somehow to the Super Bowl. I've been in the World Championships. I've had an argument. I know what that's like when you're under that pressure and you're like, I just want to do this. But I've never gotten in somebody's face and yelled that way, especially somebody who's gotten me to that place. You know,
right.
There's a certain amount of respect. And to me, I'm looking at Kelsey, and they're like, he just wanted to be put in and blah, 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 and that's passion. Okay, but we've seen him throw helmets. We've seen him throw other players' helmets. Like, at what point do you go, there's passion, and then there's, you're just being a petulant brat, and you just hip-check, like, a 60-something-year-old man? Thought was, well, we didn't cut to the Swiftie, you know, to Taylor Swift after that. We cut to her for everything else she did on the field, but we left that one out. I'd like to see the look on her face with that moment. So I'm just looking at him and I'm like, okay, you're good, but George Kittle, to me, handles himself 10 times better.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not drinking the Kelsey Kool-Aid at all. What annoyed me, you want to show Taylor Swift, we all knew it was going to happen. I was more upset she was in the hype-up video for the Chiefs. That bothered me more than anything. You want to show her, I relegated to myself that was going to happen. Her being in the hype-up video bothered
yeah.
me more than anything, because there are more celebrities that have been long time. Paul Rudd does not sit in a box. He's out there freezing his butt off. He's been a Chiefs fan for forever. And you didn't see him in the video. And he's been
yeah.
riding with them from when they were horrible. Rob Riggle. There's other guys, and I don't say guys as in male gender. I just mean people in general who have been fans. I want to see that. I don't need to see Taylor Swift, who just came on, who when she gets a new guy is not going to be rocking, you know, Chiefs gear. So I found this to be annoying. And I don't see – Giselle wasn't in any hype-up video for the Patriots.
Right.
You know,
no, you're right.
Like, what's –
You bring up
other,
interesting points. Yeah.
There's other people.
Hey, as we wind this thing down, and, you know, I'm about tired of those guys. And, you know, who cares? Let them ride off in the sunset somewhere.
Look, I
should be
very
interesting
happy.
Season.
I hope they're happy.
Yeah.
I hope they're having a good life, all that stuff. I just – the NFL needs to remember who is paying the bills, and that's the
yeah.
true fans. The Swifties –
Yeah, get out of bed with some of these people. Yeah.
They're gone. You're going to miss – don't forget who we are, who's every week tuning
yeah.
in. Just that's what I'm saying is don't forget about your core group. Don't look over the heads of us to the Swifties. That's it, you know?
Yeah,
because
well, it's kind of like – and I'll end it with this one – kind of like everybody looking at quarterbacks, running backs, and wide receivers. Football is one in the trenches, offense and defensive lines. Hey, as we wind this thing down, love, I know you got a show tomorrow. Let everybody know how they can get a hold of you. I can't wait to be back next Wednesday, prime time, with our show. And I want to wish you a happy Valentine's. Love you dearly.
Happy Valentine's. I'm so happy to be doing this. We'll be back regular time next week, and then I will be on tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. with C.R. Rice with our Novel Beginning show, and everybody can get a hold of me on Instagram at Birth of the Fae, and let me know your feelings on even the halftime show, and all, which I personally loved, but everything that went on with the Super Bowl, I would love to hear your opinions.
She's Danielle Orsino in Charlotte, North Carolina. Yours truly, Mark Mancini in Los Angeles. Archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. Thanks for tuning in. Little morning drive in Charlotte, up with the Roosters in Los Angeles, like I said earlier. Have a safe week, and we'll talk to you next week in primetime, 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern. Till then, thanks for tuning in.